This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Where lived a country boy named Johnny B. Good, who never ever learned to read or write so well, but he could play a guitar just like a ringing a bell. Go, go!
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Brian, why don't you read a few texts before we get Howard Richards on the radio?
Frank? Some of these I can't read. Saints for sure. I can't forgive. Greedy SOB Crocky. Got to go with Bennington until he has a couple of bad games. Bill in South County says he has been a long-time Saints fan, dating back 14 to 15 hours.
That's good.
Good to hear.
We're going to probably do on Channel 5 this week a favorite New Orleans Saints moment each night. A tribute, the five greatest moments in Saints history.
You got to do that, what, that block punt when they first came back after Katrina,
yes.
That emotional, that.
By the gentleman who has ALS.
Who has ALS now.
Gleason, yeah. Gleason.
That's a great, that's got to be in your top three for sure.
And then, you know, I guess their Super Bowl would be, you know what's, that would definitely be up there too. I think there's one moment, and I'm checking right now, but they had a wide receiver by the name of John Gilliam, okay? And this is a true story. 1967, he is famous for returning the opening kick 94 yards in the Saints' first ever game against the Los Angeles Rams, too. Wow.
What about Joe Horn's cell phone?
You got to put that in there as just memorable in itself. That was an amazing celebration.
Okay, so... Right, so we almost have all five. So we have Horn, we have Gilliam, we have the Super Bowl, we have the block punt. Gosh, well, I don't even have to have Andy Muller do any work.
Selling the franchise for Ricky Williams? It could be one.
You mean the Ditka?
Yeah, trading like three number ones.
The wedding dress moments? That's not bad.
Wasn't there an Archie Manning moment? I mean, they were bad.
Well, they were eight. I think his best season, they were 8-8.
Okay, so there wasn't a great one there. Okay.
Great Saints moments. Please text in, please, at 855-282-8255. We appreciate Gateway Motorsports Park for being a part of this program. Curtis Francois is the owner. He's the man who has really made Gateway really special. They have the Bomberito 500. They have NASCAR Truck Series. They have NHRA. And the attendance for the Bomberito 500 has just been insane. It really has been. So we appreciate them being a great sponsor of the opening monologue every day here on 590, the all-new 590 The Fan. Chris Kerber is going to join us at about 10:45 today. He'll be live from Washington to talk a little Blues hockey. Martin will be in studio at 11 o'clock. Joining us now is the former All-American from the University of Missouri, the first-round draft choice of the Dallas Cowboys, and the former postman for the Southwest High School. What's that nickname? What was your nickname there at Southwest High School?
Longhorns.
The Longhorns, yes, where your shot was consistently blocked by Johnny Parker at Central. Confirm or deny?
Consistently, no. But, yeah, I mean, he blocked a couple of my shots.
He was the most—
I got a couple of his, too, though.
I never saw really David Brent, but I would have to believe a 6'8" Johnny Parker with that afro had to have been the most intimidating player in PHL history. Intimidating at best.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, he was an amazing athlete. The guy could just sky. And, you know, I don't think anyone that we played during that time could, you know, affect basketball games as much as he did. But they were a good team, you know, along with Arthur McFadden and Bird Hamilton,
Chucky White,
good players.
Reggie
Chucky
Claibon.
White, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Great. Really good players. Really good players.
So Saturday night, you had to have been watching intently, rooting for your Cowboys. What'd you think?
I think the defense stayed on the plane at LAX. They were just bad. I mean, they couldn't stop the run. They looked very lackadaisical. You couldn't tell me that they were – I mean, they certainly didn't look – to be prepared for a divisional playoff game with a trip to the NFC Championship the following week. I know they just, they fell apart. And I really can't can't put your finger on it. Because this is a team that has a young defense that had been flying all over the place, making plays, making big stops when they needed to, but just didn't show up on Saturday night. It's pretty disappointing.
Howard Richards joins us, Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Are you like most St. Louisans that you'll be pulling hard for the Saints against the Rams?
I really don't care. I mean, I was being away from St. Louis for so long. I was a fan of the Greatest Show on Turf. This version of the Rams, not so much because of the recent history. Not really a big Saints fan, but I think I'll be pulling for the Saints on next weekend's football game. I think it's Saturday. Or did they play on Sunday? I can't even remember.
That's a Sunday, okay. Yeah, 2 o'clock on Fox 2. I'm
going to check out.
Yeah. Here's my question is, in terms of that facility, I think when it's right, there can't be anything louder. What does that do, like, from an offensive lineman's point of view? Like, well, what's the loudest venue you've ever played in? And could you even hear, like, Danny White, you know, barking out the signals for the Cowboys at that time?
First of all, never played in a Superdome, but I have played in a lot of loud places. Even the old King Dome was pretty loud. It is loud. We worked on hand signals and tried to work mostly on quick counts because basically you get up to the line of scrimmage and you expect any kind of sound from the quarterback. To me, that's what helps an offensive line. Those longer counts and longer cadences, of course, unless you're audibly, just make it more difficult to sit in there and wait for the snap count. So I think teams that utilize more of a quick count have a little bit of an advantage in a loud facility.
All right, let's break down a couple of these games. Patriots and Chargers. Here you have Phillip Rivers with 54,000 passing yards, 8 Pro Bowls, probably headed to the Hall of Fame, and yet the man cannot beat Tom Brady. He's 0-8 against Tom Brady, and I guess reports of Brady's demise have been greatly exaggerated. He couldn't have been better yesterday.
It's Tom Brady. You know, the playoffs, for those that don't really understand it, it's a different season. It doesn't matter if you're, 16-0 like the Patriots once were and, of course, lost in the Super Bowl. It doesn't matter if you're 8-8 and get in. The playoff season is just different. And you've got to be prepared. A team like New England that has just, they're perennial playoff contenders. And they know how to get it done. There's something about Bill Belichick and Tom Brady that when the stage is the largest, they perform the best. It's, as much as you hate or love the Patriots, it's just hard to bet against what Belichick and Brady can do.
But will you do that this weekend as they travel to Kansas City to face the young gun Patrick Mahomes and his 50 touchdown passes?
No, I'll be pulling for the Chiefs. I think Andy Reid is due. But that said, whether he's due or not, his defense has got to be able to show up against the Patriots for all the reasons that I just mentioned. But I would love to see the Chiefs knock off the Patriots.
Oh, anybody that Mahomes reminds you of, you were after Staubach in terms of really athletic quarterbacks with rocket arms, but anybody he reminds you of?
No, I have not seen anyone that could make, a lot of throws that kind of defy gravity and, the way his body turns. He makes throws with both feet off the ground. He makes throws going to his left with his left hand. He's just amazing, and I think the kid's going to get better after this season is said and done. He has a chance to kind of review in the mirror what he was able to do in his first year as a starter. I just see that his game getting even better, and that's hard to imagine considering he's probably going to be the MVP this year. But I have not seen, anyone at that level that comes even close to what Patrick Mahomes can do.
I don't know if it was the weather and him still coming off an injury, although he performed really well throughout the regular season. But, boy, Andrew Luck just was not at his best at all. I mean, from the opening drive, he wasn't sharp.
Yeah, even though they won, 7 of 8 towards the end of the season, something about his throwing motion that just doesn't look like healthy again. I don't think it's as right as or as good as it was before he got hurt. Maybe it's just my imagination, but he almost looks a little slow. His release looks slower to me. And maybe that's the function of, you know, having so much time off. And it'll be interesting to see how he comes back in the 2019 season to see if his accuracy and his throwing, the strength of his arm improves. But, you know, it was great for the Colts to have him back taking snaps again. But, you know, I don't know. I don't think the Colts were ready for, you know, to compete at this level just yet.
All right. In terms of your Cowboys, Jason Garrett, you know, guides him to a pretty good season. What are your thoughts on, like, Jerry Jones in general and Jerry Jones as a general manager?
I don't think much of Jerry Jones as a general manager. You know, he just hasn't – that's not his skill set. You know, he does what he does. He spends money and makes deals outside of football. Yeah, and he's had success as an owner, but – listen, you need a guy, a person, could be a woman. You need a person that understands really the X's and O's of football, that can evaluate talent, and just to me has a gift for it. Gil Brandt was a guy, and he was a guy that could do that. You need someone that can put together a team like, you know, Gil Brandt or Bill Polian. Those guys were experts at it. And I don't know why he has resisted for so many years in doing so when he's been advised to do so. And I think, to me, that is really what has held the Cowboys back. You know, and I don't know if the future holds the Cowboys hiring a true general manager. But if they really plan to take the next step, I think that's really necessary. I think they do need to develop some more creativity in their offensive scheme. I think they need a really true quarterback coach. You know, they got rid of Wade Wilson, but and who I thought did a good job, especially with Tony Romo and Dak's early years. But I think those things have to be done. I mean, I just saw today where they plan to bring Linehan back, much to the chagrin of a lot of Cowboys fans. But whatever they do, they've got to have some help in offensive creativity. They've got to find some more depth along the offensive line, because I think that's where they really suffered. And that's, you know, the past 4 or 5 years, that's where Dallas Cowboys have been their best, because of the offensive line.
What do we know about Kelly Bryant and the transition to Columbia, and what's been going on with his move to Mizzou?
Haven't heard anything. I imagine everything is still in place. This is the last week of the winter break. School starts a week from Monday. I know that because my daughter will be heading back on Monday. So I imagine that everything is on schedule. I'm sure he's enrolled and will show up whenever they kick off their winter program sometime next month. But I know that they will be doing some other things prior to winter workouts beginning, you know, having Bryant go through the offensive playbook with Coach Dooley and also with receivers coach Alex Ifadole. And you know, those guys worked out a little bit on their own, but it'll be interesting, man. It's kind of exciting to see what Kelly Bryant will mean to this program. No disrespect to Drew Locke, who I thought he had a great career in Missouri. But Kelly Bryant, having been on a national stage, playing in a national championship game, winning a national championship, he's going to bring something extra that Missouri fans probably have not seen. I don't want to jinx him, but this is what the expectation is, and I think the fans should be excited for his presence on the field come this fall.
Okay, so what do you think, Locke, and in terms of the draft – Kyler Murray could affect his status, and then the possibility of Joe Flacco or Nick Foles going to some of these teams could actually affect his status also. But do you think he slips past 15?
Well, I think he's certainly a top 15 pick. I know we had talked before about where he might be taken in the draft. I know the kid from Ohio State who declared Haskins, you know, could be the first quarterback taken. I don't know. I think the whole evaluation process just has to be in place. But to me, Locke is certainly, if he's not first, he'll probably be the second quarterback taken. But I should come in the first half of the first round. I just believe it. You know, whether it's Denver, whether it's some other team. I think Denver really likes Flock, but again, a lot can change between now, what happens during the bowl games, the All-Star games, the combine, and the actual draft.
Do you think Kyler Murray's a great NFL quarterback?
I don't. I think he can be a good one, and I think a lot of it is, again, I mean, he's 5'9", maybe. I think he's exciting, but I don't know. It's a stretch with guys, even a guy like Chase Daniel, who's 5'10". I think a lot that has held Chase back is the fact that he, you know, is only 5'10". It's hard to see over 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", offensive linemen. Now, Chase has had success as a backup. He's made some plays. But you got to believe there's a reason that he's not starting full-time. Think of Doug Flutie. I think he was about 5'10". Had some success, but didn't have long-term success. Kyler Murray may be one of those hybrids, you know, a guy that can come in and play quarterback for you, can maybe run some jet sweeps, also line up in the slot. I just don't see his success long-term as a starting NFL quarterback. You know, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm kind of going by history here. And I think his size, according to what the NFL scouts like, you know, may be somewhat of a detriment. I just don't see him going in the first round, though.
Good stuff, Howard. We appreciate your time, sir. Thank you so much. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate
All right.
it.
Howard Richards, Mizzou analyst, former first-round draft choice of the Cowboys. Looking at SB Nation's NFL mock draft, they have Kyler Murray being the first quarterback selected at number 7 by the Jacksonville Jaguars, who definitely have to address the position, whether it's through the draft or whether it's through a trade. They have Denver with the 10th pick in the NFL draft, selecting Drew Locke. Let's see. At 13, Miami takes Daniel Jones, the quarterback from Duke. And then, let's see, where is Haskins going to be here? I don't see Haskins on this one.
There's no way. He has to be top 10, right?
Yeah, I would have thought. I mean, with the season that guy had with his size, how could you not like him? Let me see. Maybe I missed it early on. Maybe it's really early. Hold on. Let me check one more time because, let's see, Nick Bosa, Josh Allen, Jonah Williams.
They have him going 6 to the Giants.
Okay. So it would be Haskins, 6, Murray, 7, Locke, 10, and Daniel Jones, 13. Usually about 4 quarterbacks go in that realm. So we'll see. All right, let's take a short time out. When we come back, we'll talk a little hockey with Chris Kerber.